I asked the children a few minutes ago if they could tell me what wisdom was, and they very wisely said, "I know what it is, but I can't put it into words." Wikipedia defines wisdom as the act of using one's depth and breadth of knowledge and experience to do good by oneself and others. Wisdom is the interpreting and understanding of knowledge that leads to greater insight, for example, common sense. Wisdom is a pragmatic kind of praxis or process where one is constantly using metacognition. That clears it right up, doesn't it? Well, Hollywood gives us endless access to characters that seek or define wisdom. In the Dead Poets Society, Robin Williams says, "There's a time for daring and a time for caution, and a wise man understands what is called for." The Wizard of Oz tells the lion, "You, my friend, are a victim of disorganized thinking. You are under the unfortunate impression that just because you run away, you have no courage. You're confusing courage with wisdom." In Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, Spock says, Logic is the beginning of wisdom, Valeris, not the end." I don't think that's what he says when he makes that gesture. "Live long and prosper" sounds a little more like it. And then in Willy Wonka, The Chocolate Factory, Gene Wilder says, "A little nonsense now and then is relished by the wisest men." There is even an old proverb from who knows where that states, "A wise man once said nothing." I think it's part of human nature to seek wisdom and understanding. Art, music, and theater have often tried to find deeper meaning out of life and love. No one wants to be considered a fool, yet often the wisest among us do indeed consider themselves foolish. It's like the old saying, "The more I learn, the more I realize I know nothing." Wisdom is abstract. It is not something we can easily define, despite Wikipedia's best efforts. It's not something we can hold on to or claim to possess. Yet there are times when we can sense its presence. This is why I love the images of woman wisdom in the book of Proverbs. The personified wise woman is something I can visualize. She's someone I can aspire to emulate. There is truth under the surface as she beckons to us to come dine at her table. She was created by God before the earth, and her words are better than fine silver and gold. One of my Hebrew professors at Columbia Theological Seminary, Dr. Bill Brown, gives us a closer look at woman wisdom as described in chapter 8 of Proverbs. The following is his own translation of her words. "When Yahweh inscribed the foundations of the earth, I was beside him growing up. I was his delight day by day, playing before him every moment, playing in his inhabited world, my delighting in the offspring of Adam." Dr. Brown then clarifies that according to the sages, she is fully alive, interdependent, and interactive with God and the world. Wisdom is God's full partner in play, and all creation is hers to enjoy. The world was made for wisdom. As we look at our text in chapter 9, we see that woman wisdom has built her home and set her table. It appears that she has all grown up. She's ready to welcome company to feast with her, but she is not a cold and condescending hostess. Yes, she invites us, who are simple and foolish and naive, to dine on her wine and bread and meat. But all the while, she delights in us. I imagine her gathering us in as a mother might do when she shows her toddler a butterfly for the first time. Her greatest joy is in watching us discover the world and learn to understand our place in it. She extends an invitation to us to participate in this joyful delight. In contrast, the book of Proverbs offers another personification, that of the strange woman, folly. She can be found in chapter 9, verses 13 to 18. She also extends us an invitation to dine at her table. Her house is also set up in the city's heights, and she sits in her doorway, noisily calling to anyone naive enough to enter her home. In fact, her home could easily be across the street from Woman Wisdom's house. She is in competition with her as she offers us stolen water and calls it sweet, and says that the food eaten in secret is pleasing. I imagine she has red lanterns in her windows. And the text warns that all who enter her home are in the depth of the grave. This is an invitation that sounds too good to be true and causes the hairs on the back of our necks to rise. Our task, of course, is to be careful in choosing which one to enter and with whom to dine. As we see images of bread and wine in Woman Wisdom's home, we might think of Jesus' body and blood. That certainly is an appropriate reference, but there's more truth in her cuisine than a simply pointing to the Eucharist, especially when those who read the sage's description of her knew little of the Messiah and understood even less. It may offer us a clearer picture to see Woman Wisdom's table juxtaposed with that of the strange woman. Both are enthralling, but the strange woman's food draws us in and entraps us. We eat and eat until we have lost all sense of ourselves and who we were created to be. Whereas Woman Wisdom's fare brings delight and joy. It is a celebration of our connection to the one who created us all. She invites us to dance and sing praises to the Creator as she did when the world was first formed. As we stand in the middle of the street, deciding whether we will turn right or left, whether we will enter Woman Wisdom's domain or the strange woman's lair, the writer of Ephesians bids us once again to choose carefully. He says we must make the most of this moment, for the days are evil. We are living in perilous times. How did he know that? Well, when in human history have we not been living in perilous times? Honestly, we don't have to grasp at straws to perceive that. Notice what he says, though. Out of all the ways he could have described being wise and not foolish, the only tangible example he gives is not getting drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. We must be filled with the Spirit instead of strong drink. This is not a blanket statement in favor of temperance and prohibition. After all, the wise woman offers us good wine, and the strange woman offers us stolen water that she calls sweet. Who knows what's in that drink? It's more a plea to empty ourselves and the trivial desires of this world, which only bring ruin, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the things of God. This is exactly what Woman Wisdom's fare gives us. Access to connection with the divine. Then the author of Ephesians urges us to sing and make melody to the Lord in our hearts, giving thanks to the Father at all times and for everything in the name of Jesus Christ. At all times. See, where we choose to dine, it is a decision we must make over and over again. The strange woman is tricky. She disguises herself in all kinds of ways. She is loud and easily gains our attention despite our best efforts. We think of ourselves as walking along the road of life, having safely avoided her snare, only to be tempted by her once again. Yet if we take the time to pause, we will see that woman wisdom is calling out to us as well. Her voice is softer, gentler. She beckons for us to come to her table, to lay aside immaturity and live, and to walk in the way of insight. No matter what season of life we are in, may we always find ourselves seated at her table, delighting in our Creator and the wonders of his creation. May it be so. Amen.